Palm Sunday, there be in Lent season. The reading, first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 to 7. Second reading from the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. And the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, verse 1. To chapter 15, verse 47. Sharing of the reading. The theme, the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. People don't like to be disciplined, diet, or exercise, but they have to do them if they want to be healthy and successful. The athletes shall not win medals if they don't go through this process. Similarly, in the spiritual life, people must go through a similar process. Especially, they must be tried by suffering and pain so that they can show their firm faith in God. As the author of the First Peter said, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. The virtuous one is the one who had gone through a process of training, overcame all trials and suffering, and became a perfect person. Today's reading gave a different reason for the Messiah's suffering. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah reported that the suffering of God's suffering servant in the third song. The purpose of his suffering was that he could console those who must go through the way of suffering. In the second reading, Jesus must go through the way of suffering to reach the summit of the glory in which God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. In the Gospel, St. Mark reported Jesus' passion. The purpose of his passion is to take away people's sin and to bring salvation to all. Analysis of the reading. The first reading. The third song of God's suffering servant. First, the suffering servant endures suffering because he trusted in God. As a human being, everybody is afraid of sufferings. The reason why one wants to suffer, because he firmly believes in the result he shall get after suffering. For example, a medal for an athlete. The suffering servant wanted to suffer because he believed in God and shall liberate God's people from sin. He confessed his faith in God. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not seal from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my faith like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. Second, the suffering servant knew how to support those in suffering. An athlete received not only the medal after the competition, but also other rewards such as a healthy body, a strong will, etc. The suffering servant received not only prayer by the Father, but also compassion to support those in suffering. He stated, The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I may know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opened my ear, that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. Second reading. Jesus must go to suffering to achieve glory. Third point. Christ humbly suffered. St. Paul used Christ's example of suffering to teach the Philippians. Have among yourselves the same attitude that is also there in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus himself is God, but he humbled himself to put on a human body. The Greek can't understand this action. Why they were trying to escape their human body, because they considered them as a prison to confine their soul. Jesus wanted to incarnate in a body to become like man. Moreover, Jesus had God absolute power to wipe out all suffering, but he volunteered to go through the way of his Father to die on the cross to redeem people. Second point. God greatly exalted Christ, since known it humble, obedient, and suffer like Christ. As a result, none has such a glory like him. St. Paul described this glory as followed. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name, that at Jesus' name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus also taught his disciples the way to be treated. The king of the Gentiles exercised lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become at the youngest, and the leader at one who serve. See Luke chapter 22, verses 25 and 26. St. Paul also encouraged his faithful, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. See Rome chapter 8, verse 17b. Third, the Gospel. Jesus' passion according to St. Mark. Third point, reparation before the passion. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priest and the scribe were seeking a way to arrest Jesus by treachery and put him to death. They said, not during the festival, for fear that there may be a riot among the people. Jewish Passover is April the 14th. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is lasted 7 days after the Passover. Passover is one of the 3 Jewish main feasts. The law requires all Jewish males who are 12 years of old and up and live within 15 miles of Jerusalem must go up to the temple to celebrate the Passover. The law of Sabbath is also applied to the three feasts. The high priest and the scribe had a reason to worry because so many people were gathered at Jerusalem on the Passover. They sued to ask the Roman army for protection on these days, especially at Antonia Fortress, next to the temple. According to Josephus, a Jewish historian, people went up to Jerusalem can be up from 2 to 3 million, and every 10 people would slaughter a sheep. The Passover had a history in the exodus event of the Israelites from Egypt. On the night of the first Passover, God's angel came to all the Egyptian houses to kill their firstborn, but the house which had the lamb blood on the doorpost, the angel will pass by and didn't come in to kill. In God's plan of salvation, He wanted to use the Passover to begin a new Passover, which was the day that Jesus left this world to come back to Him. It was the day which all of God's people were saved from slavery of sin and death by the blood of the Lamb, which Jesus Christ had been poured out to redeem people and to bring them back to God. First, the anointing of Jesus' body and Judas Iscariot's betrayal. When Jesus was in Bethany reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfume oil, costly genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on his head. Bethany was a small village. When Jesus knew to come to visit Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, it was here that Jesus raised Lazarus from death after 3 days in the tomb. This village, located on the hillside facing the temple Jerusalem, the visitor who went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover could legally dwell here to celebrate the feast. Who were the women that showed the depth of her love to Jesus? Some said it was Mary, Martha's sister, who sat at Jesus' feet to listen to Him when Jesus had visited and had a meal with them last time when He was in Jerusalem. According to Jewish custom, the host only washes the guest's feet and pour out a few drops of perfume on the guest's head. But these women seemed to know what shall happen to Jesus, broke the plant full of perfume to pour over his head. Other get reaction. There were some who were indignant. Why would there have been this weight of perfume oil? It could have been sold for more than 300 day wages and the money to give to the poor. And they were infuriated with her. Bethany was also called in Hebrew the house of the poor, Beth Aoni. This might be the reason why they infuriated with her, because 300 days wasted were a large amount of money, which were corresponding with about 300 days of working. Jesus' reaction. Jesus said, Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She had done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. She had done what she could. She had anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she had done will be told in memory of her. Jesus clearly knew the woman's intention. She anointed his body in advance. There is time when the lover must be generous to show the love and the care for the loved one, not to always counting the cost. What Jesus foretold had been fulfilled. This woman, who showed the depth of her love to Jesus, became a historical figure. Every year she publicly remembered. In oppositing with the woman's true and uncalculated love was the Judas Iscariot calculated love and betrayal. St. Mark described his action as followed. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went up to the chief priest to hand him over to them. When they heard him, they were pleased and promised to pay him money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. St. Matthew clearly said that Judas sold Jesus, his master, for 30 denarii. See Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. St. John said Judas was the treasure of the 12. And often used the common fund for his own expenses. See John chapter 12, verse 6. We should learn the lesson here. The greed for money can lead people to unfaithful. It can make people to turn their back to the truth, love, and justice. The woman out of love spent 300 denarii for Jesus. Why Judas, out of greed, sold his master for only 30 denarii? Some people stipulated that Judas acted as such to force Jesus to act as a powerful Messiah which the Jews were expecting. But when Judas found out the truth, Jesus accepted suffering and death. It was too late. He returned money for the chief priest and the scribe and went out to hang himself. See Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 to 5. Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus always prepared for everything. He didn't wait until the last minute. Like the time when he needed to help a donkey to solemnly enter Jerusalem, Jesus also prepared to have a room to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Whenever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher said, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. make the preparation for us there. The disciple then went up, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they repaired the Passover. Jesus celebrated the Passover and the prophecy of the betrayal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Jesus asked, he was very courageous and confident in God's plan. Jesus could point out it was Judah, the betrayer, and he shall not escape other apostle hands. Jesus shall escape his plan. But Jesus chose not to accuse Judah. He gave him an opportunity to repent. But Judah had freedom to act and chose to be indifferent to Jesus' warning. For the Son of Man indeed goes, as it written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. The apostle reaction. They began to be distraught and say to him one by one, "Surely it is not I," he said to them, "one of the 12, the one who dipped with me into the dish." The apostle didn't know who was the betrayer in St. Mark's account. They might know of their weakness and took their turn to ask Jesus that, "Surely it is not I." Jesus instituted the Holy Eucharist, the new Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, who will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It was in the background of the Jewish Passover that Jesus wanted his apostles to understand what shall happen in the new Passover. The prophet of the Old Testament must sometimes use symbols and actions to convey God's messages when people got so used to their word that they no longer understood the prophet's words. For example, the prophet Ahijah tore a garment into 12 pieces and gave 10 pieces to Zerubbabel, which represent the 10 tribes of Israel that God gave to him to govern. Or the prophet Jeremiah obeyed God and made tongs and zoke bars and put them on his neck to show people that if they didn't listen to God, certain things shall happen to them. Jesus used two symbols of the Jewish Passover to make his disciples to understand what shall happen in the new Passover. First, as a loaf of bread is broken to distribute for many to eat, Jesus' body shall also be broken for his apostles and people at the Thanksgiving Chalice, the third cup of the Passover is offered to those who participate. This blood shall also be poured out for the people so that their sin may be forgiven. Secondly, the Old Covenant or the Sinai Covenant. According to this covenant, God shall care for and protect the Israelite if they keep His law. Since the Israelite didn't keep His law, God shall make a new covenant with His people. According to this new covenant, Jesus' blood must be poured out to redeem people's sin. They no longer depend on keeping of the law to receive God's blessing and protection, but completely depending on His love. Based on Jesus' blood, we can go into pour out for them. When saying the word, Jesus wanted to confirm two things. First, He knew He is going to die, but also God's kingdom is coming. He must carry the cross, but the glory shall come after that. Secondly, God and His love for people shall overcome all people's sin. Jesus foretold the betrayal of all apostles. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee." Jesus knew in advance and well prepared for His apostles so that they could handle His passion through teaching, transfiguring, and warning. But what needs to happen shall happen. All of them shall betray Him. Jesus firmly believed that His apostles shall recognize the truth after their betrayal and come to Galilee to see Him there. Peter overestimated his strength and said to Jesus, "Even though all should have their faith shaken, mine would not be." And Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times." But he vehemently replied, "Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you." All apostles spoke similarly. God is the only one who knows what shall happen to man. People don't know for certain what shall happen to them. Therefore, we must believe in God than in human world. Jesus instantly prayed in the Gethsemane garden. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with Him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch." Before the Passion, Jesus wanted to have an intimate relationship with His Father and Apostle, but He didn't get from any of them. The Father seemed to leave Him alone. The Apostle present is meaningless. Go back and forth in the garden, Jesus was extremely lonely. He felt all of His beloved one forsook Him. Jesus prayed for the first time. He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, The hour might pass by him, he said. Abba, Father, all things were possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will. Jesus, in his human nature, was afraid of what shall happen to him. He prayed to his Father to take away the painful chalice. Even so, he obeyed his Father than his will. In the darkest moment of our life, people may have Jesus' experience in the garden. God also seems too absent. In such moments, people need to completely trust in God. Jesus came back to look for his apostle and encouragement. When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? People promised many things, but when Jesus were in need, they were known to console him. Before his painful passion, the apostles still slept. They couldn't stay even an hour to wake up with him. Jesus warned them an important lesson in life, though they didn't hear him. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. People are easy to fall into temptation when they aren't prepared for. Therefore, people need to be prepared and all the time. Jesus prayed the second time. Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned one more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer to him. Jesus prayed the third time. He returned a third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand. Second, Jesus' passion began. Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with sword and club, who had come from the chief priest, the scribe, and the elder. Judas kept a betrayal. He knew where Jesus knew to come to pray, and to differentiate between Jesus and other apostles, he gave them a sign. The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely. Then he came and immediately went over to him and said, Rabbi, and he kissed him. At this point, they lay hands on him and arrested him. People view the kid to show love for others. The Jews have a habit to kiss their master. In opposition, Judas viewed the symbol of love to betray his master. Judas thought that he could deceive Jesus and he had nothing to do with Jesus' arrest. In St. Luke's report, Jesus clearly revealed to Judas that he knew of his plan when he said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? See Luke chapter 22, verse 48. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck his high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. In St. John's account, this man was Peter. This reaction was fitted for Peter's temperament. He was the only one who had courage to protect his master. Jesus said to them in reply, "Have you come out at against a robber with sword and club to see me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, that you did not arrest me, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. It happened as Jesus foretold, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." At this point, all apostles left him and fled. They were afraid that if they stay with Jesus, they shall be also arrested and killed. The young man escaped. Now a young man followed him wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They see him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. Who was this young man? First, we need to take note that the two verses were reported only by St. Mark. This is the reason why many stipulated that this young man was John Mark, the author of the Gospel according to Mark, Peter's disciple. Secondly, when this thing happened to Jesus, he was still young. His house wasn't too far from the place Jesus used to eat the Passover. Some stipulated that when John Mark knew about Judas' plan, he immediately put a linen cloth around his body and ran to Gethsemane to announce the news to Jesus and his disciples. Unfortunately, Judas and his people came before him. Thirdly, some thought that he already presented with Jesus in the garden from the beginning. This was the reason why he witnessed and reported Jesus' agony in the garden in detail, because all apostles were slept. Jesus had opportunity to say what happened to him in the garden, especially to Peter, Mark, Master. Anyway, the two verses belong to Mark. He wanted to report his witness when the thing happened to Jesus. It might be out of humility. He didn't want anyone to know of his name. The first inquiry of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were considered as the Supreme Court of the Jews. They had the total of 71 people, which included the high priest, the elder, and the scribe. They only had their eye on the religious master and couldn't execute death sentences. The Sanhedrin must organize their meeting at the hillstone in the temple area. They broke many rules when they judged Jesus on that night. For example, the law didn't permit them to judge people at night, nor on the fifth day, nor outside of the hillstone. The witnesses must be inquired at different places and must be agreed with other in details. Each member of the Sanhedrin must give his opinion, starting with the youngest member. If it is a death sentence, there must be a night before the sentence is executed. The purpose is for all members to have an opportunity to carefully think over if the sentence is needed to temper with mercy. In a word, since they wanted to immediately get rid of Jesus, they judged him illegally. The chief priest and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death. but they found none. Many gave false witnesses against him, but their testimony did not agree. The sin of destroying the temple. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy the temple made with hand, and within 3 days I will build another not made with hand.'" Even so, their testimony did not agree. These were the four witnesses, because Jesus said to them, "If you destroy, not that, I shall destroy." See John chapter 2, verse 19. Moreover, Jesus didn't imply the Jerusalem temple, but his body. The sin of blasphemy. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Then Jesus answered, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the cloud of heaven." At that, the high priest tore his garment and said, "What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard that, the blasphemy. What do you think?" The high priest gravely violated the law when he asked Jesus the question, because the law prohibited the Sanhedrin to ask the accused the question which it involved himself in it. The high priest knew that Jesus shall give the correct answer when he asked him about his relationship with God, because he couldn't lie. Jesus wasn't hesitating to give the answer that he is the Messiah, because it is the truth. He also wanted to terminate the wicked game of the Sanhedrin. To this answer, Jesus wanted to show them that he had courage to say the truth, even though the truth could lead him to death. If he refused to answer, they shall have no reason to condemn him. Moreover, he wanted to show them that whatever they did to him are temporal. They shall see his glorious victory after his passion and death. After hearing of the high priest's condemnation, they all condemned him as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him, "Prophesy." And the guard treated him with blows. Peter went through a process of inquiry at the same time with Jesus' inquiry. Peter followed Jesus from afar and entered the inside the high priest courtyard. He warmed himself at the fire with the high priest household member. True inquiry of Jesus and Peter were happening at the same time. Jesus would publicly inquire in the high priest court, while Peter will quietly inquire at the courtyard. Peter's first denial. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said, "You too were with the Nazarene Jesus?" But he denied, saying, "I neither know not understand what you are talking about." So he went out into the outer court. Then the court crowd, even a woman of no important standing, make Peter to deny his master. Peter's second denial. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystander, "This man is one of them." Once again, he denied it. Peter's third denial. A little later, the bystander said to Peter one more, "Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean." He began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man about whom you are talking." And immediately a cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times." He broke down and wept. Though Peter denied Jesus three times, he was still more courageous than other apostles. They didn't follow Jesus, even from afar. Not like Judas, Jesus recognized his betrayal, and the crying in his heart helped him to begin his reconciliation and witness for Jesus. Jesus before Pilate court. As soon as morning came, the chief priest with the elder and the scribe, that is the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him to Pilate. As said above, the Sanhedrin had relied only on religious matters and couldn't execute a death sentence. Therefore, after they found a reason to condemn Jesus of blasphemy, they must find a political reason to condemn Jesus to death. Because they knew Pilate had no concern of religious accusation, as St. Luke mentioned, they found a political reason for Pilate to condemn Jesus to death. Jesus called himself the King of the Jews. By pronouncing himself of the title, Jesus opposed the Roman power and the Emperor Caesar. Jesus is the King of the Jews. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." Jesus' answer was positive. He wanted to tell Pilate that he wasn't a political king as the Jews accused him of, but a religious king. In St. John's account, Jesus clearly stated that his kingdom isn't of this world. See John chapter 18, verse 36. The Jews considered Jesus less than the robber, Barabbas. Now on the occasion of the feast, he drew to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then imprisoned along with the rebel who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" For he knew it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed him over. They asked for Jesus to be crucified. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply, "Then what do you want me to do with the King of the Jews?" They shouted again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil had he done?" They only shouted the louder, "Crucify him." Jesus was cursed. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus cursed, handed him over to be crucified. Jesus was crowned with thorns. The soldier led him away inside the palace, that is the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and waving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with, "Hail, King of the Jews," and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage, and when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own blood, and led him out to crucify him. They made Simon Cyrene to help Jesus to carry the cross. They brought into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the Plague of Golgotha, which is translating Plague of the Skull. They gave him wine, rubbed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Crucifixion is a painful and slow death. The victim is given wine rugged with myrrh, and we take painkiller medicine so that he can endure the pain. Jesus refused to take it. He has strength to fight against it. Jesus was crucified on the cross. Then they crucify him and divide his garment by cutting lot for them to see what it should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucify him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him, they crucify two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. They reviled and challenged Jesus. Though passing by reviled him, shaking their head and saying, "Aha! Who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself by coming down from the cross." Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. Likewise, the chief priest with the scribe mocked him among themselves and said, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Jesus' agony on the cross. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the bystanders who heard it said, "Look, he is calling Elijah." One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down." Jesus held the last breath. Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The author of Hebrews commented on this event that from now on, people can come directly to God. There is nothing that separates them as in the Old Testament. The centurion declared Jesus is the Son of God. When the centurion who stood facing him saw how he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." This is the pinnacle of St. Mark's Gospel. Up to this point, none confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. Unfortunately, the confession will form the centurion a Gentile. The women stood at the foot of the cross. There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger James and of Joseph, and Salome. The women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. Taking Jesus' body from the cross and burying him in the tomb, Joseph Arimathea asked for Jesus' body. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of Pilate, was surprised of the council, who himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courteously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was greatly surprised to hear that Jesus was dead. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. The reason for his surprise was that he somehow believed in Jesus' power to overcome death. Joseph buried Jesus in the tomb. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph watched where he was laid. The women shall come to the tomb early on the next day. Application in life. Jesus suffers so that people can live. Suffering help us to be perfect and have compassion to those who suffer. Through Jesus' passion, we recognize the true love of God and the people's wickedness. Amen.